the Acts of the Holy Spirit. We've spent the past couple of weeks or so in Acts 13, and today we're going to conclude that. For those who've not been with us, we are going to do a recap, but as I say, I'm not going to ask questions in case we don't get the answers. But Acts 13, the gospel has broken new ground. It's broken new ground as the word of the Lord has spread. From this devoted church in Antioch, the Holy Spirit called Barnabas and Paul. Following a time of prayer and fasting, right at the start of the chapter, the leaders then send them on their way. And when they reached Cyprus, they were confronted with some spiritual opposition. Yet the word of the Lord proved strong enough for the Roman proconsul of the island to believe. And from there, Paul steps into the synagogue at Pisidian Antioch. Here he unfolds the great story of God's faithfulness and grace. He proclaimed a Savior who was rejected, put to death, but yet was raised. He proclaimed a Redeemer who offered forgiveness and justification. And as the people, they spill out of the synagogue, many cling to the message, a message that brings hope, a message that they want to hear again. The word of the Lord, you see, doesn't just speak, it erupts. It builds momentum. And we see the momentum gather further pace in these verses this morning, 44 to 52. It's where a whole city gathers, where a whole community stirs. The atmosphere is electric. People are searching. People are hungry to hear the word of the Lord once again. And right in the middle of that hunger, something amazing happens. The word of the Lord begins to move. It begins to confront what is false. It begins to expand beyond every border. It begins to advance through every obstacle. It begins to fill people with an extraordinary joy. This is not just a story about what happened in Antioch all those years ago. Folks, this is a picture. It's a picture of what the word of the Lord is still doing for us today. Why? Because the gospel isn't static. It's not passive. It isn't fragile. The word of the Lord is very much alive. It's active. It's powerful. And when it's welcomed, when it's allowed to do its work, it changes everything. So this morning, let's step into this passage with expectation. Let's listen for the voice of God. Let's open up to the word of the Lord that confronts, expands, advances and fills. There you are, 4 points straight off. Number one, the word of the Lord confronts. Look there at the first couple of verses. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowd, they were filled with jealousy and they began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. Look what Luke tells us there in that first verse. Almost the whole city gathered. Many from around the world came to hear the word of the Lord. Imagine that. You can get a sense of the excitement in the air. People were flocking to learn more. People are drawn to the word of the Lord. They're spilling out of doorways. They're crowding the streets. They're craning their necks so they can see from every possible vantage point. They wanted to hear the message of Jesus. Virtually the entire city was ready to hear the gospel from Paul. You know, folks, many of us today are overwhelmed with the information available to us. You know, we have social media, we have radio, we have television, we have internet, newspapers, magazines. People back then did not have any of these sources available to them. So if anyone came bringing precious information, you went to hear them. And Paul and Barnabas had precious, life-saving information to bring them all. Now, you think that everyone would be thrilled. This is good news. Isn't it great? You'd think they'd be rejoicing. But that's not what happens. Luke tells us that some were filled with jealousy. When some of the Jewish leaders saw the crowds, they were filled with envy. Some of them became jealous of Paul. Why? Well, because the word of the Lord confronts. It confronts and challenges. It doesn't just inform the mind, it exposes the heart. The crowds came thirsty for more, but the leaders came threatened. I guess the word of the Lord is drawing people in, but at the same time, it's flushing out the arrogant. It shines a light on the motives of those who thought they were close to God. Because when the word of the Lord exposes pride, pride pushes back. When the word of the Lord challenges our sense of control, we resist. When the word of the Lord threatens our status, what do? Well, we often defend ourselves. So, look what happens. The leaders began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. Despite waiting for their Messiah, they reject Jesus when Paul presents him. But why? Well, because they wanted to keep the division between the Jew and the Gentile. The Messiah would be the king of the Jews, not the king of the Gentiles. So if Jesus was to be the Messiah of all men, they didn't want to be part of that. Do you know what? It's them contradicting the scriptures. It's them with the flawed theology. Folks, Paul has wounded their pride. He's exposed their hard hearts. And the reality is their influence is slipping away. Their authority is under threat. And the word of the Lord has a way of doing that. It confronts the idols we didn't even know we were worshiping. Folks, to be clear, the gospel isn't some soft pillow. It's a sharp sword. It lifts up the humble, but it exposes the proud. It draws the hungry, but it unsettles the comfortable. It comforts the broken, but it confronts the self-sufficient. That is why some people respond with joy and others respond with anger. The same gospel that brings life to some reveals certain death in others. And if we're honest, we all like the parts of Scripture that encourage us. We love the promises. You know, we love the hope. We love the comfort. But the gospel also confronts us. It confronts our hidden motives. It confronts our fears. It confronts our doubts. It confronts our pride. It confronts the places where we've settled for less than God's best. And if we're not careful, we too can respond just like these leaders. We can become defensive, resistant, easily offended. But church, hear this morning. God confronts us because he loves us. He confronts us because he loves us. One commentator said the following. He exposes what is false so he can give us what is true. He reveals what is broken so he can make us whole. He unsettles us so he can anchor us in Christ. So let me ask you, this is a question. Where is the gospel confronting you right now? Maybe it's confronting your pride, your fear, your comfort, your bitterness. Because we all like to be recognized and applauded at times. We all like some control. You know, trusting God can be and feel risky. Being obedient, you know, can feel costly and rather unsafe at times. And let's face it, sometimes forgiveness can feel impossible, don't push back. Don't harden your heart. Don't be, or don't let envy, pride, or fear make you resist the gospel. Let the word of the Lord do its work. Let it search you. Let it challenge you. Let it confront you, because confrontation is the doorway to transformation. Why? Because God only confronts what he intends to redeem. Just let that sink in. God only confronts what he intends to redeem. So having met, we've been met with opposition, what do Paul and Barnabas do now? Well, that hopefully leads us nicely onto the second point this morning. The word of the Lord expands, verses 46 to 48. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary for the word of God to be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we're turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed." So despite facing opposition, Paul and Barnabas do not shrink back. They didn't soften the message. They didn't apologize for their impact. Instead, they just spoke with a boldness that can only come from knowing God. They were not going to back down because they knew the truth about Jesus. So they declare, "It was necessary for the word of the Lord to be spoken first to you." And then they add, "But since you've thrust it aside, we're now turning to the Gentiles." This is a rebuke against those who reject Jesus, but it's not a bitter rebuke. Paul and Barnabas are letting them know it was a privilege that they passed up. The message of salvation came to them first, but they chose to reject it. So God's message of salvation then moves on to the Gentiles. It doesn't stop. The word of the Lord doesn't stop where people stop. It just moves on. It doesn't end where people resist it. It doesn't die when people reject it. Folks, the word of the Lord expands, and it will keep on expanding. And Paul anchors this expansion in Scripture. The Gentile mission is rooted in Scripture. In verse 47, Paul quotes from Isaiah 49, verse 6, and it reads, "I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." This isn't a new plan. This isn't a reaction. This is what God intended. The mission to the Gentiles was not a plan B. God knew what had happened. Nothing happens outside of God's remit. This was the heartbeat of God. Folks, human rejection becomes the doorway to divine expansion. The very moment these Jewish leaders say, "We don't want this," God responds with, "Then I'll give it to somebody who does." When we want to tell others about Jesus, begin with your family. But you know, if they don't receive it, or when they start to reject it, move on. Don't stop telling others about Jesus. Find others who want to listen. The Gentiles wanted to hear, because once they had, what does the passage say? They rejoiced. The Gentiles responded to Paul's invitation with enthusiasm and faith. They learned that God doesn't hate them. He offers them salvation in Jesus. In fact, he offers salvation to all those who will believe. That's the truth. The gospel isn't fragile doesn't depend or need human approval, doesn't wait for cultural permission, doesn't wait for anyone. Instead, the word of the Lord expands beautifully and sovereignly. Folks, it will not be stopped. And that is still how God is working today. When one heart closes, another opens. When one door shuts, God just opens three more. When one community resists, another community receives. So the word of the Lord confronts. The word of the Lord expands. Next, the word of the Lord advances. Our third point this morning. Look there at verses 49 and 50 with me. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirring up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. In verse 49 there, I think we read something beautiful and maybe something somewhat surprising. Despite the hostility surrounding Paul and Barnabas, the word of the Lord spreads through the whole region. Picture the scene. The gospel is flowing throughout the entire region. It's rushing through the region like a river that's burst its banks. We know of that. It's happened here in our village, in our town. Nothing can contain it. Nothing can slow it. Nothing can stop it. Despite the efforts of some, it can't be repelled. It can't be stopped. It can't be halted. But some do respond differently. Look how the Gentiles respond in verse 48 that we just looked at. They didn't just receive the word of God, they honor it. They rejoice in it. They receive it as treasure. This is not it's not random. This is not accidental. This is God's initiative. His timing. God's mercy breaking into human hearts. Folks, to be clear, the word of the Lord advances because God is advancing it. But look at the contrast we see in verse 50. Sadly, opposition continues to mount. Influential people stir up persecution. The Jewish leaders incite powerful people. They incite the devout women and of high standing and the leading men of the city. And what was the end result? Well, Paul and Barnabas are expelled from the region. They're driven out of the district. They're silenced. They're rejected. And yet, this is the amazing thing. The word of the Lord keeps moving. The messengers are expelled, but the message remains. The preachers are pushed out, but the gospel pushes on. The opposition gets louder, but the gospel grows stronger. You know, the gospel often advances more powerfully when it's resisted more fiercely. When the church is comfortable, it often becomes complacent. But when the church is opposed, it becomes courageous. When the world tries to silence the gospel just speaks louder. When the enemy tries to shut down the mission, what does God do? Well, he just propels it. It's exactly what we see here in Acts 13. The word of the Lord will advance. Persecution doesn't stop the word of the Lord, it spreads it. Rejection doesn't stop the word of the Lord, it multiplies it. Hostility doesn't stop the word of the Lord, it accelerates it. The word of the Lord advances. And there's nothing anyone can do to halt it. So this morning, folks, take heart. Be encouraged in your personal evangelism. The word of the Lord advances, even when you feel like you're going backwards. God often does his greatest work in the moments that feel like setbacks. He advances his purposes through your weaknesses, not your strength. He moves his mission through your trials, not your triumphs. Maybe you're facing opposition at work. I don't know all your work situations. Maybe you're feeling discouraged. Maybe you're praying for someone who just is completely closed off. Maybe you're serving faithfully and seeing little fruit. Don't lose heart. Don't assume that God is absent. Don't mistake resistance for failure. The word of the Lord is advancing. It advances in the dark, in the pressure. It advances in the places where you feel less effective. You know, and all too often, the moment you feel pushed out is the moment God is pushing further in. The word of the Lord confronts. The word of the Lord expands. The word of the Lord advances. And finally, the word of the Lord fills. That's our final point this morning. Look there at verses 51 and 52. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but these final couple of verses in Acts 13, in my opinion, are extraordinary. Because you know what? The final word is not one of fear, but of fullness. Despite the hostility shown to Paul and Barnabas, they remain undeterred. Because in verse 51, you see them, don't they? It's like they're dusting themselves down, and on they go. They go on their way. You know, I don't know about you, but I can imagine Paul saying, well, that was a bit rough, wasn't it? Let's just keep going. And Barnabas probably says, I'm right with you. Let's head on. But notice something else. Luke ends the passage with a breathtaking sentence. Verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what, the last few weeks felt quite tough personally, but I tell you what, isn't it great that we still can be, despite the trials, despite the mistakes we might make, we can still be filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Notice they were filled. They weren't shaken, not discouraged, not fearful, not depleted. They were filled. Filled with joy, filled with the Holy Spirit. This is extraordinary when you think about what's just happened. The city has become divided. Paul and Barnabas have been insulted and expelled. The atmosphere has become tense. The future looks pretty uncertain. Everything is fragile, and yet inside them is fullness. They're full of joy. Full of the Holy Spirit, because the word of the Lord doesn't just confront, expand, and advance. It fills. It fills all who receive it. It fills the church that welcomes it. It fills hearts open to it. Notice again what they're filled with, joy. Joy flows from the Holy Spirit. Joy flows from the unchanging presence of God. And this is why the early church could be joyful despite persecution. You see, their joy wasn't rooted in comfort. It was rooted in Christ. Luke explicitly tells us the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who takes the word of the Lord and plants it in our hearts. The Holy Spirit who turns the information we receive into transformation. The Holy Spirit who produces joy that circumstances cannot touch. Folks, this is the mark of a person shaped by the word of the Lord. So if I may, let me encourage you this morning. Are you feeling empty? Are you feeling drained? Are you feeling worn out? Well, if you are, then let the word of the Lord fill you and restore you. It fills the weary. It fills the discouraged. It fills the overlooked. It fills the servant who feels unseen. It fills the struggling believer. Folks, if I'm describing you this morning, let the word of the Lord fill you again. Let the Spirit breathe joy into places that have grown tired. Let the presence of the Lord ease the pressure which is on you. Family, please let me reassure you. May the gospel remind you. Your joy is not tied up in your circumstances. It's tied to your Savior. And imagine what God can do with people who are full of joy, full of the Spirit, full of the confidence in Christ. Another commentator said the following: this is how the gospel moves from a moment to a movement. This is how the church becomes a light in the darkness. This is how the kingdom advances in the world. When God fills his people, nothing can empty them. The word of the Lord confronts, expands, advances, and fills. So as we close this morning, let's never underestimate the gospel. Because when the word of the Lord is unleashed, things happen. It confronts what is false in us, not to shame us, but to set us free. It expands beyond every border, reaching the unlikely and overlooked. It advances through every obstacle, every setback, and every resistance. Why? Because no human power can halt the purposes of God. And you know what? Lastly, it fills weary hearts with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So may we be a people who welcome and trust the word of the Lord, a people who carry the word, who are filled by the word. Folks, the word of the Lord confronts, expands, advances, and fills. Opposition cannot stop it. Persecution cannot silence it. Why? Because the risen Lord Jesus is still building his church. And his joy is stronger than anything the world can throw at us. Amen.